This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is for the players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast with almost 40 years playing PlayStation and 5 years in the games media combined with Throw Our Hat in the Ring. Join that PlayStation conversation.
If you like this conversation, you can join in with many more on iTunes, Stitcher, and what's the other one? YouTube, Facebook, and all other major social media outlets. The main conversation happens on our Facebook community group page, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. And if you really, really like what we do for some reason, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Every dollar counts.
I like how you're like, and that thing that we're on right now, YouTube. Yeah, that one.
It's funny because the last video we did, I said, like, how good I am at that plug now, and I'd screw it up.
Well, we have a lovely special guest here for this week's episode of For the Players. If you're watching the video, you can see the face now. If not, here's the voice. This is Jono Peck.
What's going on, guys?
Thanks for having author, me. Author, podcaster, entrepreneur,
all sorts of
man
stuff.
Of hair. I'm trying to think of other things. Then, what would you put on the resume?
Apparently, I'm a YouTuber now. So,
you've breached it. You've now
closed the circle.
Close everything.
Circle. What's that website? That little known. Web, YouTube, right?
Yeah. So, you've come just to come chat some PlayStation with us and as well as mention this.
Yeah, that's...
I'm going to do this and show that like that.
I have just written a book and I think you've just bought a copy.
I have bought a copy.
I'll sign that for you.
Okay. Whoa!
You can put it on the set with next to all the really cool stuff.
I'll read it and be like,
No, but I also, do a rival PlayStation podcast.
You do indeed.
Platinum Explosion. No, we're very friendly. I came here and we just finished a podcast. I've outside the Explosion Network, I do Putting In Work, and you talked about this and the Patreon and building everything. So check that out in a few weeks.
Yeah, no, it's all nice to, as I mentioned before we start recording, put down the ceasefire between the PlayStation shows. We're both gunning to be the number one Australian/Oceanus.
Oceanus. We've got New Zealand covered, thanks to...
See, we don't have the New Zealand market. You've got an advantage there.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Tommy.
At the panel we did at the Geelong Gaming Convention, we did talk about the importance of crossovers and networking.
That's true. It's very, very important.
It is. It happens beyond being kind of funny and... You know, easy allies, and let's put ourselves up on that level.
Yeah. It's like we're in the same vein as the crossovers between IGN and kind of funny.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you know, next week we'll be with the guys from Beyond. No, we won't.
Anyway, as we always kick off the show, what have we been playing? Jono, kick things off for us.
I'm stuck in a rut of Persona 5 at the moment.
See, a rut sounds like a bad thing.
Yeah, and it is getting towards that. Like, it's funny because I love this game, but I just want to... to be finished,
and it doesn't.
Yeah, I know. I'm like 92 hours in, and probably 10 or 12 hours of that is just idling because it's such a big game. Like, I'll just be looking at my phone and listening to that awesome music.
Yeah,
it's easy to do, but I know that I have at least three palaces left. Yep. So I'm looking at another 20 or 30 hours.
When we went to Supernova, we were talking to a chick who was selling stickers. I have in the back of my laptop, and she said her friend said she thought the game was done 3 times, but there was always another dungeon.
Yeah.
And I said at that time, I was about, I don't know, 75. I said, no, I'm definitely on the last dungeon. Ooh, I think I've clocked it at 120. I think I finished up.
I've put 20 hours into it.
You suck.
You've given up?
Oh, and a new shiny game came
away. So is it that you're stuck on a particular thing?
No, or it's just it just takes a long time. And with getting the book out and everything, it's been... that's taken up so much time because I self-published and had to mail and sign all these copies, and I've just been to San Francisco.
Trying
to
pick Spy and the Maven.
I have not. Yeah, Spy and the Maven. Available now at all good retailers online.
And bad ones, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Good is subjective.
Yeah.
You say good because if it's not available somewhere, then they become
a bad retailer.
They're no good.
Don't have it. They're a bad retailer.
That's right.
There it is.
Yeah, but that's just taken up so much time. So I've only been able to like dip in and put like a half an hour or an hour into Persona. And you don't
achieve nothing.
Yeah, if you don't have a weekend free, you're not getting anywhere in Persona.
And that's probably one of the key reasons that I sort of stepped away from it was the fact that we're like, with other games came in, and I'm like, because I really enjoy that world and I love that world so much. Mm. And it's such a good charm to it, and there's nothing else like it.
Mm,
but definitely. Then it's like, hey, here's, you know, Wipeout, here's Tekken. I'm like,
But the relief of finishing it is good.
Have you finished?
Yeah, I finished it. And I was same as you, kind of, it just kept going. And it was always interesting and fun. Mm. But it did get to that. I need this to be finished now. And when you do finally get there, it feels good.
I've started to like skip through text a lot more. And I'm like, you know, I don't really care about this.
I just skip Morgana mostly. Like, fuck Morgana.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'm not going into mementos. I'm just trying to get through the days. And it's not a good place to be because you know. And I don't want to step away from it because it's hard to come back.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate there hasn't been anything come out that I'm like dying to play. I've got Mass Effect Andromeda kind of waiting for me. But then we've got, you know, there's some good games coming out, so I do want to get out of the way.
Yeah. You're getting there. You're nearly there.
I'm getting there.
Have some faith. It is worth it in the end.
Okay.
And that's it? That's just the one-time sync at the moment?
Pretty much. I dipped into Gwent,
How's open that? Beta.
It's really cool. I love Gwent. Like, I've played a ton of that in Witcher 3, Platinum Witcher 3, and that involves playing
that's
a lot.
That's a time sync right there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really cool. I'm waiting for it to get trophies and stuff before I really get into it.
Went to the full release.
Yeah, I'd love to play it with my brother and whoever else. If there's like matchmaking components, really cool. Yeah. And so I just kind of tried that. And it's cool that I have added a lot more than what you've played just in The Witcher 3. There's a lot of new elements that make it fresh, I think. Fresh. Yeah.
Because it's a very bloated market, this trading card game battling thing.
Yeah, and I don't get into, like, I never played Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never played that or any of the other ones, Magic or whatever, but I really get into Gwent.
The only one that interests me is the Elder Scrolls, like, because it's a lore that I know and care about. Yeah. Like, The Witcher, I'm like...
it's
Hearthstone's like, Warcraft stuff. I'm like... Speaking of Warcraft,
that is the only game I've been playing this last week. The reason being is, you know, I'm employed now and I'm studying full time now, and
let's restart a MMO.
No, but that's the thing. Leading up to that, I was spending a shit ton of money on games. I'd buy a new $80 game every single week, and I can't afford to do that anymore. So I thought, what do I have that is cheap, unlimited in quote entertainment? And it's $15 a month, which is free if you play enough, because if you earn enough gold in the game, you can pay for your subscription. But if you earn enough gold in the game,
you can transfer
the gold in the game to your Blizzard account and then buy Destiny 2 with that money, because it's on the Blizzard launcher. Oh.
Damn!
Yay. So I'm thinking ahead. That means I have to play on PC.
Is this like a 15-year-old game, or do they actually keep it up to standard?
The expansion came out 10 months ago.
Yeah,
and it sort of rebooted a lot, didn't it?
It took it back to basics in one way, because every expansion, you know, they need to add more and more and more, and end up with, you'd have so many abilities that you just don't have enough keybinds.
It's bloated.
It's bloated, so they cut back all the abilities to basics, but reinvigorated the game as well. I'm enjoying it. WoW's always been my game when I need to catch up on a lot of TV, is when I play WoW, because I have my laptop next to me running through. I've been watching American Horror Story Season 4 as I've been playing. It's just good, just zone the fuck out, and it doesn't cost me anything.
Apart from the $15 a month.
Apart from the $15 a month, which I hope...
for the rest of your life.
Just to remind you,
If I go back through my transaction history, because you can go to your Blizzard account and check your transaction history, all your character transfers, your subscriptions, your renames, your race changes. I've been playing since it launched in 2004.
So the transactions tell a story. I'm guessing.
Yeah, you'll learn the ups and downs of Josh's life.
It's like, oh, that was a rough time,
It's in the midst of $2,000.
Wow.
That's not so... After, 10 years,
that's
not so bad.
It's not too bad, but that's... It's $2,000 in the same game without microtransactions.
Well, shit, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
How many hours?
My last
About
slash...
2,000, yeah.
My last slash played was around 300 days.
I'm not that good at math.
That's nearly a whole year.
You're a scientist.
Nearly a whole year online.
A lot.
That's a lot of hours.
Right, it works out
to... put it simply...
It works out to be a full month out of the year I've spent playing WoW online.
With no sleep, if you were to time it.
A literally 24-hour cycle of 30 days.
God damn it.
Yeah. And that's... I'm at the least of all my friends that play by a long mile.
Your friends are probably near dead too.
You're the cool one of the group.
Right? Yeah. I'm the one who just comes back every few months and is like, hey, I'm back. Well, he's back. Oh, he's gone again.
Oh, he's gone.
I don't want to talk about that anymore, Ryan. What have you been playing?
I've jumped on a couple different things. I have jumped a little bit back into Tekken just because it's solid. It's really good.
Kicked your ass the other night.
Oh, you beat the shit. Like, this thing, like, I get back to him, I'm like, I'm really enjoying this. And then you or Dylan come around and you're like, all right, let's see how this goes. Beat the piss out of you. I'm like, oh, man. My thoughts on the game change. Who's going to sort? I picked up Destiny for a whole, the Taken King set for like $20.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I played Destiny when it first came out. for a little bit. Didn't really feel it. As I enjoyed the gameplay then, and I still enjoy it now. It's a really tight shooter, but it just didn't have that pull. A lot of my friends were sort of playing it and just like gunning ahead of me, pun intended. So they were, you know, I couldn't go do the strikes or whatever with them. I'm just stuck levels back, and having them carry me through stuff wasn't fun.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, look, now I'm playing by myself. You know, unless you want to jump in with me, I'm just going to plod along and not have that stress of needing to get to a point.
I would like you to finish the Taken King content before Destiny 2 comes out. That's the only reason I jump back into
it. If we play it together and you sort of give me the reason to come back to it, it should be fine.
Am I all you need? Oh, that's sweet.
Oh.
What else?
And The Elder Scrolls Online. I originally received that with my Pro when I bought it in, December of last year. It's been sitting on the shelf gathering a whole ton of dust. And then it was like, hey, Morrowind. I'm like, I remember Morrowind. I like Morrowind. Let's play that. And it is essentially Skyrim, but online with button lag.
Yeah.
It's, if you want to encapsulate that game in like a small paragraph, it's what it is.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's visually impressive. Probably one of the most visually impressive MMOs I've played. In terms of I played a lot of DCUO, played a lot of WoW. I played WoW on a shitty computer, so it looked like trash. It was one of those things, like, played on low settings. So I would start, something would hit me, numbers would flash above my head. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I would die. Then the enemy appears. It was the worst.
Attacks you in super speed as the frame rates catch up.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, DCUO was, you know, not very visually impressive. But it's
visually impressive enough to be permanently burnt onto that TV screen there.
That's because the amount of hours. That's a plasma TV. Like if I turn this TV on, it was white, you could literally see my loadout. You can see exactly my loadout of my character.
Everything.
It was awesome.
That's crazy.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing. So I've decided to like jump into two games that's online time sinks. I don't know why. Because I never finish games. It's always every week.
Finished Horizon.
Shut up.
You guys been playing that Vita?
I try to find reasons to.
Yeah. I played Spectre Knight, Shovel Knight DLC on the plane to SF, and a bit of Oceanhorn. Yeah.
Oh, I played the demo for Oceanhorn, actually. I'm like, I played it on the PS4, silly of me, because I was like, this doesn't feel like a game I want to sit down at my couch and play on the TV, but I think it'd be an incredible Vita game.
Yeah, it's cool. I wish it wasn't so like obtuse, and like, maybe I'm stupid, but I find it really hard to know where to go. They don't really have like quest logs and...
Yeah.
Quest like dots on the map that we've been trained to rely on,
but isn't it intentionally like
probably
because like it's Zelda. Sort of a Zelda clone, right? It's like OG Zelda being tough as shit.
Probably. Yeah, but you know, Breath of the Wild has a way of kind of still directing you.
Sure. Yeah.
Even if you're not seeing it on the screen, you still kind of know what's going on.
Mm.
I think it's just different now, though. Like, I understand going for that, but I have other games to play. If you want me to wander around an island looking for something, it's like playing Final Fantasy 15 and looking for those frogs. I don't know if you got to that
point. Yeah, I remember that one.
And it was like, why are you doing this to me? Like,
I just went to YouTube
and
found out where they all were.
I think I had to do that too.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But Spectre Knight though is good.
Like, Spectre Knight's cool. Yeah. It's better than Plague Knight DLC.
Yeah.
Still not as good as Shovel Knight,
which,
you know, is understandable. But it they've done a good job of introducing some new gameplay mechanics that make it interesting.
Yeah.
The way you move around and traverse is cool, but I haven't smashed through it like I did with Shovel Knight, and I don't know if that's just
The first time I loaded up Shovel Knight, and that the first level, the song started playing. I think it was called Strike the Earth.
Yeah,
I was like, this is amazing.
And that's one of the things that I don't like is they've changed the music slightly.
Oh, okay.
Like the levels are the same kind of, but the music is slightly different, and it's like I picked the level the first because you can select which level you go to.
Yeah.
And I picked it based on what music is in that level because I love it. It's the Treasure Knight one.
Yeah.
And it was slightly different. And I was like, it's not as good. It sums up the game.
It'd be interesting to see what your club do next.
Yeah, I really want to see. Shovel Knight
now. And they've put it on all the things.
Well, that's the thing. Are they sort of running towards the end of
if Bethesda's shown Shovel anything, Knight. You can drag any franchise out of
that's true.
You
just resell it again.
Yeah.
I think they have to be coming to the end because it's like... They've done free DLC, which people don't do. That's really cool.
What more can they do? You know, they've got it on all the consoles. I think they want to get it on, and they're a great developer. I'm keen to see what.
And people are waiting for the next thing. So, I really hope that they go with like a Super Nintendo style.
Oh, so they go from like the 8-bit to the 16-bit. Yeah. And they can,
yeah. I reckon that would be cool.
Like
but
a, maybe like a Castlevania style.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A bit more, bit faster, a bit more fluid maybe.
I think their thing will be just fusing the things that we remember about those games.
Taking nostalgia, but only the good parts of it.
Yes. Yeah. Which that's, the nostalgia hurts most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
I've been burnt many a time.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like I said, my only Vita play it, most days is Harvest Moon. I was moving back to nature on PS1. That shit's my jam. That nostalgia's good. That nostalgia's great.
I guarantee if I played it, I'd think it was garbage.
You would hate it. You'd hate it so bad.
Yeah.
I don't even like farming games, so.
Yeah, I've got Metal Gear Solid on the Vita, and like,
it's tough with
without using the analog sticks, just using the D-pad. That's tough, but I still love it. I still love playing it, and like all the music takes me back. I still know, like my brain says, go up here, and there's an item there, and there is. I couldn't tell you that. I know what's up there, but I just know to go there. Yeah.
Yeah, my Vita is just all the old JRPGs, you know, your Final Fantasies and all that kind of stuff. It's just never finished them. But I jump in for a few hours and, you know, the nostalgia hits me, the music hits me, I go, okay, I've had enough now.
I'm always excited by what's coming out on PS Plus on Vita, but it's usually
it's not. With Vita not being mentioned at all at the conference, which we'll get into when we start jumping into our main topic, like, it's dead. It's so dead at this point. Like, it's like, normally it was always dead, but there was always that little bit of hope. Like, something similar like Geo coming out at PSX last year. It's like, no, it's not happening anymore. But anyway, that's old news. Let's with the new news as we jump into the segment that we've named Inform the Players. No music.
Nice segue.
No worries.
Nice. Because you always forget the name and stuff.
So yeah.
Well done. And now when you do, I call it out and it's really awkward.
Yeah, so I was like, that was a really good segue. Like, thanks for ruining it.
Let's just dwell on the segue a little bit longer and go.
And
we have 8 bits of news this week. Number one, the Victorian government is seeking to strengthen the state's reputation as Australia's games development capital by announcing a new $654,000 investment into 9 Victoria game studios. Studios funded include Melbourne startup In Between Worlds and Ghost Bat Games, two other supported projects. Putty Pals by Harmonious Games and Paper Bark by Paper House were born as university projects at Swinburne and RMIT and led to their creators establishing their own studios. The Victorian Labor government is also offering grants to help local developers exhibit their games at the upcoming PAX Australia during Melbourne International Games Week 2017. Melbourne is home to more than half of all Australia's game studios, and the government expects that this round of funding will generate $1.2 million for the state and support a range of new employment opportunities across the state's games industry.
Awesome!
Awesome! Awesome! I think we've talked about this at one point in the past.
Probably.
About just Australia. I think there was news when they cut funding from Australia.
Yeah, so like a while ago, they did announce they were cutting funding from the games industry, and we talked about how, like, Australia's never been super prominent in games dev, but, like, there has been a lot here. Like, it was 2K Bondi, was it?
Something like that.
Like, don't mind me take...
Rockstar.
Yeah, Rockstar had, like, they did Mafia. Not Mafia, what the fuck's it called? L.A. Noir here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mafia.
Get out of here.
It's a Mafia-ish game. Oh, yeah. L.A. Noir was done here, I think, in Bondi. You know, it's like, not that prominent. They're all sort of secondary studios or very independent. We don't have, like, a big AAA Aussie dev, but... this could help shape that and make that happen.
Well, it's good too because, you know, most of these studios imagine putting out, you know, all their indie games, and the world has never been so accepting of indie games at this time. You know, with the Nindies, you know, Nintendo approaching it with the Switch and the Vita, and even the main consoles, you know, indie games are just freaking everywhere. So even the opportunities are there.
Talk about PAX, right? PAX is one of the best places for independent games.
Yeah.
Like, they have an entire section of their floor, which is majority of what floor space they have, dedicated to an indie showcase. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So do we know this level of investment, is that significant numbers in terms of, are they going to be big games, or are they going to be like you?
With a budget of what, $600,000+, was it?
$654,000 into 9 game studios. Yeah, so you divide that by 9.
Yeah, I know they're indie, but are they going to be like mobile games, or are we going to get some? You know,
I think it varies. I think it's a lot of PC, Steam, and mobile. I think predominantly, and then everything gets ported as it happens.
Mm. Let me have a quick look up of one of these studios just quickly, just to see.
Yeah, sure.
Because like a buddy of mine, he works in game dev out of Melbourne. He just released his first game probably a couple months ago on the iPhone. It's called Sunday Drive, S-U-N-D-A-E.
Like the ice cream.
Like the ice cream. So you're in an ice cream truck and you drive down the street and you've got to like whip ice cream at pedestrians.
Like Paperboy.
Yeah, Paperboy, but it's all ice cream. It's kind of cool. And like different flavor ice creams does different types of yeah, it's cool. Like that's I don't think this level it's not a, you know, millions of dollars. Like yeah. it's enough to take the sting out of it a little bit.
Okay.
As in to sort of help maybe keep them open that little bit longer and maybe get that game to be published.
Sure. So do you think it would be similar to games we saw at RTX Sydney at the start of the year?
I would say probably, yeah.
Okay.
Well, as of 5 months ago, Melbourne studio In Between Worlds was recruiting a character modeler, an animator, environment and props, and a UI artist. So I wouldn't imagine that's going to be a mobile game. Just with what they're hiring.
Yeah.
Well, because there's a couple of cool games that we've tried, like Blockopolypse. Yeah. It was a little indie game out of Melbourne, and it was fucking awesome. But, you know, it's PC only. So like $15 on Steam or whatever.
They're wanting people with Unity experience and RPG experience.
Unity is phenomenal for indies, man. Like they can make some sweet games with very limited resources.
Just be careful mentioning Unity around Jim Sterling.
Yeah, he gets pretty mad.
He doesn't like
it. He doesn't like the flips. The flips are bad. Yeah. But this is great news.
That's good news. Maybe we can... If they're in Melbourne, maybe we can get some interviews with
them. Oh, so maybe we could do them. I'm like,
No, I need to have the
patience nor the skill set to do anything.
No, but it'd be good to talk. At PAX, it'd be good to talk to some of these studios.
Hell yeah. Sure. Get some time. Phil Spencer, when he was down for EB Expo, he did come down to Melbourne and have a wander through the studio, sort of scouting, I guess.
Scouting talent.
Yeah, it's kind of good.
Number two, just a quick one. The dates for E3 2018 have been revealed. According to a sign on display in the LA Convention Center, the Electronics Entertainment Expo will return next year and run from June 12th to June 14th.
Book the holiday now.
It's exactly the same time. I just thought it was worth letting people know because now the public can go, so that's plenty of notice for you to book.
So banking our dollars so we can fly out.
Yeah, I won't be going.
What have you heard so far about the experience of having public attend this year?
I've not really dived into it. Have you heard anything?
I haven't seen much.
No, I thought that there would be a lot more. There'd be some
trash talking.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot more outcry, yeah.
I think there's been some, like, there's some every year about people just attending and getting in the way of journalists doing their job, but... considering how crazy, like how many people are there.
Was it 10 or 15,000 tickets? I think it was 10.
Yeah. I was listening to a kind of funny stream where I think they were saying like there was a couple of days where it was mental and then people must have looked around and said, oh, this isn't worth it and not turned
up. Didn't come back the next day.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether E3 reviews it, thinks that it was worthwhile and does the same thing, or if they
money in their pocket, it probably would have been worthwhile.
You know, I think we worked out how many millions of dollars it brings in. Yeah. Like it's like in terms of the bump financially, awesome. Like they would do it again. Mm. I know Jeff Keighley had the E3 Coliseum or whatever. That wasn't media focused. That was all the general public. So I think that will be an advantage. Like they had some really cool panels. Like I watched one with I watched the God of War one. I've watched.
Who that?
0613484691. That's a really long number.
What's 06?
Perth?
I don't know. It's probably Ubisoft, like in San Francisco.
So I watched the God of War one. I watched a panel between Jack Black and the guy that did the Double Fine, Tim Schafer. They're talking about Brutal Legend and like Jack Black was clearly a little bit baked or he kind of had that vibe of baked to him.
Nice.
It was really chill. And I think that would be a really cool sort of thing to keep people around. Like maybe they can't, you know, the floor is ridiculous, but this can give them something to do. And as long as they keep doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right. Did you hear the story about Tim Schafer's camera?
No.
That got lost? Someone posted in the kind of funny Facebook group a few months ago, like, oh, check out this guy who found this camera and look at the photos that were on it. Someone had posted, does anyone know the people in this photo with Jack Black? And it was Tim Schafer. And someone posted it in the group saying, haha, how funny is this? And I DM'd Tim Schafer.
Yeah.
I tweeted him and he followed me so I could DM him. And I said, hey, I think this guy's found your camera. And it was obviously taken while they were recording Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, how can I get in touch with him and blah blah blah. And I think he ended up getting back his camera that he lost that day. It's pretty,
yay, networking.
Pretty crazy.
Best friends.
that's what it's all about.
Oh, good work, Johnny. You that was some good karma you did the right thing.
I didn't do much. There was other people that actually
would you say you gave Tim Schafer a pleasure explosion?
Definitely not. He unfollowed me very quickly after that, so it was very functional follow. Yeah.
Very businessy.
That's fine.
Thank you. How can I do it? Got it. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
What's next?
Number three, Shadow of the Colossus for PS4 will indeed be a remake with new visuals and updated controls, Sony has confirmed. In an interview with Famitsu Translation via Silicon Era, Sony Worldwide Studios president Shuhei Yoshida himself clarified that the upcoming PS4 game is not merely a remaster. In a quote, he says, "It is a remake. The game content is the same as the original version, but all the assets are being remade." With regards to the game's content, Yoshida said that everything from the PS2 original will be included, confirming it's the same. That said, the controls of Shadow of the Colossus are being updated for PS4 to offer a modern feel. Continuing the quote, player preferences for controls and such change over time, so we're working on implementing a more modernized way to play, he said. Even with this change, players will still have the ability to experience the game with its original feel, as Yoshida went on to add. Of course, you can play with the feel of the original version, but what we're doing is showing how great the original work is using today's technology.
So is that like a Crash Bandicoot kind of treatment?
I'm going to say it's in the same way, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool because I never played any of them.
I didn't either. That was a phase where I wasn't gaming, that late PS2 period.
Yeah. I think by that time I had a Dreamcast, if my timeline's correct.
I thought Dreamcast was...
Or am I mixed up?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I had
You may have just been late to the party on Dreamcast.
I might have been late to the party. But... cool, like the trailer from E3 was dope. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
It's got a great reputation, so I'm really
excited. Knowing that it's a remake certainly helps me. Because like I think about, I may have talked about with you, Josh, for the players, we mentioned that how a lot of those older games had a lot of empty space. It was just flat, bush, flat, and like that implied space.
It's a big open world, but there's
it's like
a lot of it.
When I was looking at picking up Shadow of the Colossus on PS3, like the remake or the remaster, I should say, it just looked like a bunch of empty space with like slightly better quality bush. So I was like, okay, it felt very PS2. So I'm hoping this expands and that makes it a bit better, because I feel like this is a game that I should have in my list of games I've played, the list of games that I've experienced, and I think this might make it happen.
Well, it's good that they're updating the controls. That's normally the big thing that pulls a remaster back.
Yeah, so it's coming from Japan Studio, so the same guys that did Last Guardian. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're using the same engine.
Engine's fine, controls no. Yeah, I hated the controls in The Last Guardian.
But it's also being worked in conjunction with Bluepoint, who did the Uncharted remasters. So
that's good.
There's some good peoples on this.
Because that's part of what Bluepoint did with the remaster, was to rework their controls. Because if you go back and play Uncharted 1 on PS3 now, it controls like rubbish.
Yeah, don't do it.
Just by today's standards. Yeah, just like Shuhei said in his quote, times change and how we play changes.
Even playing Red Dead the other day, controls are jank.
Just felt a bit
mixed.
Yeah. Really?
Only because like... you know, like if you think of San Andreas and Red Dead, running is holding X.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just tapping it.
Or tapping it.
That's why the PS1 controllers thing had that thing where you like push the button and then it's like you're mashing the button.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Like the turbo
button. The turbo button, yeah. That was cool.
Yeah.
It's good for Final Fantasy. Because I think one of the Final Fantasy games needed you to like button mash.
Oh, yeah. Just turbo it. All of them.
Yeah.
And the torture scene in Metal Gear Solid had the... yeah, he's like... don't use a rapid fire button on no. And it's like, how do you know?
And
apparently it still worked with it anyway. He didn't know.
He was
full of crap. Ocelot.
In your face, Ocelot.
Yeah.
Number four, Sony Interactive Entertainment confirmed that over 60.4 million PS4 consoles have been sold to consumers. Sony announced the milestone in the wake of its E3 2017 showcase event. The figure includes sales made up to June 11th, 2017. Sony also provided an update on the number of games sold via regular retail and digital sales. That figure now stands at 487.8 million.
Jesus.
Also as of June 11. These figures are estimates based on sales data collected by Sony in the Americas, Europe, and Asia. Sony also noted that it has 26.4 million paid PS Plus subscribers worldwide as of the end of March 2017. Numbers are good.
That is insane. What I love, the key wording on that is shipped to people. Not the exact wording.
Sold
to people. So like it's in people's hands. It's 60 million in
homes,
hand. So it's not the whole we've sent 60 million to stores.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like people have bought 60 million consoles. That's huge.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And like it's at a point now where Xbox haven't actively mentioned or Microsoft haven't mentioned what their sales figures are. Last I heard, it's probably sitting around 27 if you look at the growth that they were doing. It's probably sitting about 27, 28. Still good, still great numbers.
Yeah, but see, now with both the major ones, Microsoft and Sony, you've got to look at multiple SKUs as well, because they all have the Slims now, and the depends if... I'm guessing that'll be PS4 and Slim numbers.
And Pro.
Do you think it would be Pro?
No, because I think Pro will be part of that.
I'd like to know Pro's standalone numbers.
They mentioned, I think, a week or so ago, that one in every five?
It's been a little foggy. They haven't blared it.
Yeah, it's like somewhere between one every five and one every ten people have a Pro.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. You're one of them.
I love my Pro.
Jono?
I don't know.
No, me either.
So
you're one in every three.
I'm basic.
Send that numbers to Sony.
I'm basic. I don't have VR or anything.
No, me either.
VR's awesome.
I haven't even used it.
I don't even have a 4K.
We've never used VR.
No.
I did
golf at the airport the other day.
When we're done here, we're going to take you out there and we're going to put you in the VR.
Oh, I'm excited.
Why are you here? Because VR, you got to try it. It's one of those things
I want to try it.
You can't explain how fucking awesome it is until you do it.
What game do you introduce someone to VR with?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll let you ponder on that while I read the next story. Number five. While it's been quite
options, because we have thanks to Sony, we have a ton of games to play. So
quite a few years since Ubisoft released a new Splinter Cell game, the publisher has not forgotten about the stealth series. It says today's because I copied and pasted, but during the other during the other day's YouTube live at E3 live stream, Jeff Keighley. Jeff Keighley asked Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot if fans can expect to see the return of the Splinter Cell soon, to which Guillermo replied in a quote, "I can't say much about that, but for sure, all the Clancy games are taken care of."
Is it like Guillermo and he's just adding the L?
Something like that. It's just we have quite a lot on our plate at the moment. Guillermo went to note how there's still an active player base for The Division Rainbow Six. He also pointed to the success of Ghost Recon Wildlands, adding that all the Clancy games are really coming along, so we are not forgetting about Splinter Cell. So I just put that in there as a reply to the question we had from Josh Murphy 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think
Splinter Cell game was in 2013. I think it was Blacklight.
Yeah, because he asked us directly. He's like, what do you guys think of whether there's going to be a new Splinter Cell game? I'm like, holy shit, I've not thought about Splinter Cell in years. Exactly. It would make so much sense.
So yeah, Ubisoft have not forgotten. So do not be sad.
Don't forget, Josh. You heard it here.
Never forget.
Never forget. Spin us up.
Never five get.
Never four. What?
Never five get.
Oh, you're a fool.
Better than four.
I'm going to save this one for last. So I'm going to swap over to this one.
We get news from multiple places. Josh's laptop and phone.
No, well, this one just kind of popped up before we did the show.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. That was last night, actually. This past May, Square Enix announced it was parting with IO Interactive.
Like the eighth time we've talked about this. Interactive.
Yesterday, that studio says it's now officially independent.
We tend to keep a good solid line throughout. It feels like we've kind of fallen off a little bit.
And we'll keep the rights.
So this isn't a fair representation of the show as a whole.
Below is a statement from IO Interactive CEO Hakana Brack. In its 19 years of history, IO Interactive has brought you entertainment and exciting... What is happening to... I'm having a stroke.
Yeah, but in installments, though. It's not consistent.
IO Interactive has brought you original and exciting entertainment from Mini Ninjas and Freedom Fighters to gaming's most notorious criminals, Kane and Lynch, and, of course, our beloved Agent 47. With our latest game, we have not only transformed Hitman, but also moved our entire studio into the AAA digital era. Our live product has disrupted the video game business and received recognition and praise from press, community, and fans. This is a bit of a long quote, but I'll get through it. There are many tales of hope, dreams, hardship, and joy within these walls. We have never strived for the expected or predictable. Instead,
we can make this statement into a novel.
Instead, we are always in a pursuit of what feels original and real. Our passion and determination has never been greater, and so that is why we have decided it is not time to stop, and we have many more exciting tales to tell. Therefore, I am proud to announce today that IO Interactive is now officially an independent studio. We have successfully concluded our negotiations with Square and have agreed to a management buyout. Crucially, we'll be keeping the rights to the Hitman IP. And it goes on and on and on.
The rest of the book.
That was only about a third of it. good.
This is pretty rare, isn't it?
Very rarely if a studio gets to keep their IP.
Yeah. Square do good work, but you also hear they're a little bit of arseholes.
But they're not like Konami level buttholes, but they're like, you know, it's that same sort of Japanese thing, right? So it's really cool of them to be able to sort of like, that's cool. You guys work with it, you guys made it, keep going with it. When I read that article before we went on here today, I was like, it's fucking good news. That's really good news.
It is. hopefully it sets a precedent for future partings of studios.
Yeah.
Because it happens a lot.
And it's nice to see Hitman not just die in the water.
Yeah. Mm. They're trying really hard as well. Like I bought Hitman just before I played Persona. So yeah. I kind of powered through it in about a week. And even since then, like that was the collector's edition. And they must have emailed everyone because I got a query to fill out a survey on the game and say what I liked about it, what I didn't like about it. It was so detailed in terms of what they wanted to know. And they were really looking for, did the episodic structure work? Would you prefer it as all it's come out at once? Was it too long between episodes? Was it the price? And they really wanted to know what worked and what didn't. And I think that going ahead, we might see something different from that. Because I don't know if the episodic thing played into its favor, as good as that game was.
So I say yes and no in terms of from mine. Now, I never played it, but from my interpretation of it was sort of like it kept it in the conversation. Like, not a lot. Like, not the big conversation, but it kept it somewhat relevant.
Yeah, it was never like... I mean, I know what you mean by keeping it in the conversation. People were talking about it a lot, but it wasn't... I don't think it was taken seriously as a game of the year contender or that kind of thing, because
like, is it a game of year after all the episodes are done?
People, like, there's a lot of people like me who probably don't want to touch it until it's all finished, like until it's all out, because
that's how I approach Telltale games. I just wait for the whole season.
I haven't started the new Walking Dead yet because I know that I want to go straight to the next one.
I'm doing the same thing.
Anyway, it's great news. And it's probably the last we can talk about it now, which is good. This has been like 5 weeks in a row.
Hopefully the next update from IO Interactive is actually Interactive again.
Interactive?
Is about what they've done and, you know, how they're doing. Number 6, 7, and second last bit of news. This one I put in because I think it would make for an interesting conversation.
Oh, yes.
Probably could have been a whole topic, which we could maybe peg it for later, but I want to talk about it now.
Well, we'll see how we go.
PlayStation 4 doesn't support cross-play with other platforms for games like Rocket League and... Oh my god. This is actually getting frustrating. Rocket League and...
Do you want to read it,
Jono? I got it. And Sony has come forward to defend its decision to block such support. When asked by Eurogamer why PS4 lacks cross-play support, Sony Interactive Entertainment global sales and marketing head Jim Ryan said in a quote, "We've got to be mindful of our responsibility to our install base." He went on to highlight Minecraft and the importance of protecting that community, which includes many young players. In a quote, "We have a contract with these players who go online with us that we look after them and they are within the PlayStation curated universe," he said. "Exposing what in many cases are children to external influence we have no ability to manage or look after is something we have to think about very carefully." Ryan emphasized that Sony has no philosophical stance against crossplay at all, noting the company has done it in the past and we are always open to conversations with any developer or publisher who wants to talk about it. Where do you guys come down on this? Jono?
The reasoning seems a bit fishy. Mm. It doesn't seem that solid of a response as to why they wouldn't do it, because I don't know. How can you control what you're exposing people to within PlayStation? Like,
I guess it comes down to them, you know, if people are playing Minecraft together and one guy goes off the rails and says some really mean stuff, like, you can report him and Sony can actively look at that and go, okay, you're done, or you're off. If they're interacting with someone playing on an Xbox, Sony can't do anything to protect.
Spot on. And I think that is one of my biggest points to come out of this. Now, looking at this, you can go on two sides. You can go on the consumer side where this is garbage, but on the business side, it makes perfect sense. Like, if you're playing on your PlayStation, right, and you play with someone from Xbox and someone's griefing you and you want to report them because they're being shit, you can't. Because you're like, how do you then report this Xbox person through your PlayStation service? It's not possible. It's not an option. And like, in terms of the way they've worded it, it's spin.
Like, yeah, it's definitely spin.
It's very PR wordy in a bad way. But the short answer is they can't guarantee the quote-unquote safety within the ecosystem if the ecosystem's...
But it's also, you know, Minecraft has cross-play from Xbox to Switch, but on your Switch you have to log into your Xbox Live account.
And that's...
Sony aren't going to want people logging into...
Hell yeah.
...competitors' accounts on their own platform.
Like, and that's the thing, like, see... The reason it's okay with Switch is not a competitor with the Xbox One or the PlayStation. Yeah. Like it's nothing.
Just a different market.
But like, Xbox and PlayStation, they are direct contact. Now, in terms of a consumer, great overarching games industry, you know, like, it'd be lovely if we could all play with each other. Because, you know, like, I bought this game, but all my buddies are playing on Xbox, which is unlikely at this point. But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I would love to be able to play with them. But I do get it. I think they're in the. I think they're perfectly within their right to make this decision.
They're definitely within their right, and we heard the sales numbers. They can do whatever they want at this point.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter.
Everyone talks about how this is cocky. This is PS3, PlayStation. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, no, it's not. This is business. No, PlayStation.
It is. Yeah. And the thing is, it's not an issue. Like, this wasn't spoken about, not a peep, for ever, until Microsoft are like, oh yeah, you can play Minecraft on the Switch and crossplay, and then it's. Why can't you do it on Sony? And then everyone's just like, why? And also, it's the hot topic.
Yeah, yeah. It's the internet rage. This is this week's rage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll change.
Should it start with Rocket League?
Yeah, because Rocket League, Psyonix, which are like, we tried to do it. You know, we love and support Sony. It's where we sort of got our first boost. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're not willing to do it. And like,
And they're just being truthful.
Yeah.
Sony
yeah.
said no. That's how it is.
And I mean, that reporting thing, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't realize that there would be issues cross-reporting. Because if cross-play is possible, why wouldn't you be able to report something? And it sounded like they were trying to say, we don't trust Microsoft and Nintendo to monitor their people.
Yeah.
We'll take care of our players and you take care
of them. We have the infrastructure here to help our people here.
Yeah, it's a good, as someone that works in marketing, it's a good way to try and make it look like it's a noble thing they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas really, maybe they don't want to invest into the infrastructure. Maybe they don't want to give any credence to their opposition.
Yeah.
I don't know if the relationship between Microsoft and PlayStation is still like that. They're doing so well that
they're
doing so well that they could throw a bone and say, here's one for the players.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's interesting to see whether it's something that they'll, like, if Microsoft turns around and says, actually, we've developed a way that people can report our players from PlayStation. Yeah. Will PlayStation say,
we're making an assumption here that that's not an option because it's not in place. There's like no one's actually tried to report someone. You know,
but it also comes down to how to cross, like for Minecraft, for the example, like I said, how can you cross play without needing to log into your Xbox Live account on a PlayStation? They will never ever allow that. No matter, that's not cocky. That's just, it's business. It's like, this is our console. You're not logging into. They compared to that one else.
Like, this has been done in the past, as they mentioned. Like, I remember with Portal 2, you could play with people on Steam.
Yeah.
Like, you do the co-op on stream on the PS3. So, it's been done before, but, like, that's an agreement with PlayStation and Valve. And, obviously, they thought it was an okay place to be able to do that.
Yeah. Does Portal have, like, a chat in it?
I have no idea. I can't remember.
I
don't think so.
Next and final.
It makes perfect sense.
It does.
How about that Xbox 4K Minecraft?
Damn,
that made me laugh.
Still blocky.
Yeah. But look at the pixel density on the block. So
it's basically Minecraft with sunsets.
Yeah,
sort of. Yeah.
It's how Minecraft's been on PC for a while now. Yeah. The modding scene.
Like the lighting sells me. It's like HDR and good solid lighting. I'm like,
yeah.
But everything's still square.
Yeah.
Next and final bit of news for the week. The top-selling games in Australia for week ending 11th of June, starting at number 10, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Number 9, Injustice 2. Number 8, Dirt 4.
Dirty? Christina Aguilera singled the game.
Number 7, GTA 5. Number 6, Ghost Recon Wildlands. Number 5, Prey. Number 4, Wipeout.
Yeah.
Number 3, Tekken 7. Number 2, Elder Scrolls Morrowind. And number 1, still there, Horizon Zero Dawn.
You can see how I haven't missed much with Persona 5.
No.
Wait, is Persona on that list?
No.
And what's missing, Ryan?
Oh, AFL Evolution is
finally out of the top 10. Like, we've stuck in there longer than a lot of games do. So
we didn't overly rate the game, but we were happy to see it in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, you want it to do well, don't you?
Yeah, because that'll mean the next one will be bigger and better.
Yeah.
This might be a dumb question, but was that developed in Australia?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. True Blue and Wicked Witch.
So hopefully this... Victorian studio?
Sydney.
Damn. Quick, come down here while you can.
I assume Sydney, but it's, like, no one gives a shit about AFL in Sydney, so maybe it's Melbourne based.
I don't
Didn't you get a code?
I didn't. Dave did.
Oh.
Dave. I know you're watching.
And Jack.
Where are they located?
Yeah.
And I'm imagining Horizon isn't number one because it was $39 last week.
Yeah, it was part of the big
sale. From
a
lot of retailers.
I'm impressed with Morrowind. That's big. Yeah. It's huge.
I won't be buying it, but it's
maybe. I'll see how I go. If I get really into ESO, I might think about it.
You won't get into
it. Not a chance.
Mm. When is GTA 5 going to drop out?
It's not.
Like,
maybe now with all this big kerfuffle. Oh,
is it number 4? Was it number 4?
What, last week?
Yeah. Is that what that means?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ten it up. So it's number...
Right, it's number seven.
Seven. Still hover around the late tens. So it's where it tends to live.
I think 2 weeks ago...
Who the fuck is still buying this game at this point?
Well, there's a big kerfuffle about GTA at the moment because Take Two...
Yeah, they got, they're getting really up and shitty about the mods in PC.
For PC. Mm. So,
doesn't really affect consoles.
Doesn't affect console, though. GTA 5, it won't be out of there till they announce 6.
Yeah, and then it'll go, it's gone.
Or Red Dead, maybe.
Or, yeah.
Maybe. Ooh, good maybe. Point.
No, they'll both be in there. They'll both be in there.
It's just dominating, yeah.
Red Dead will be number one, and GTA 5 will be still...
The Red Dead remaster will be third.
Has GTA 5 basically hovered between, like, 5 and 7, like...
Yeah,
it's just steady as everything else that comes and goes.
Yeah, everything sort of dips around and it's like
that and Infinite Warfare, and since Wildlands came out, they've all been between 5 and 10. They've all just been shifting spots around there.
Yeah, so this is where we jump into the main topic of conversation for the show. We still don't have a name for this segment yet, and so probably never will. So we just have this really awkward transition where it's like,
I mean, maybe we should work out with Nemesis. Now and we haven't done it yet.
Yeah. So. Maybe we can use your creative writing brain to come up with a name. So something the players. What is
it's hard.
What do you think on it? This is So this is where we have a main topic conversation, and this week it's pretty simple. E3 is done and dusted. All the conferences are completed. On Wednesday, when the last episode released, we spoke about how Sony did in terms of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to ask the big question: did Sony win E3 this year? Did Sony win E3 2017?
Depends how you want to judge it, I guess.
Let's judge it on two bases. Let's explain how you feel. How do you feel, Josh?
It was a good conference. Was it as good as last year? No. Could it have been as good as last year? No. Like, last year they dropped everything so early, and that was this is what I said on the last episode, is, you know, if they held back either Detroit Days Gone or God of War announcement last year and had it this year, just so we had something big and new.
Last year, like, imagine if they were like, hey, this is God of War and it's coming out early next year.
Yeah, it's going to be out.
Everyone would have had a pleasure explosion.
Yes, they
so
would have.
So it's kind of, yeah. So like I said in last episode, definitely. They kind of, in 2016, they literally just dropped everything.
Yeah.
Which left them not a lot to drop this year. But this year was still good.
And PSX as well. Like, they had to save something for PSX.
And I think
Shuhei was in a quote saying, we had to pull something back from E3 to save. Yeah. To have something.
And I think that'll be, it's a common thread you're going to see with many people at this point, many places, you know, like seeing bit by bit publishers aren't going to E3, and if they're like, Activision's not going to announce big things, they're going to do it at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean? Like Xbox don't really have their own thing, you know, but it's kind of like, all places have their own other outlets now. Yeah. And there's enough conventions throughout the year, like your Gamescoms and your TGS and you know.
You got to have something every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And PSX, when you have a dedicated PlayStation like event,
yeah,
you pull out a big gun. Last year was The Last of Us. Like, what the best place to do that?
Yeah, I'm going to be Sucker Punch this year.
Oh, that
was Crash as well, wasn't it?
No, Crash was E3 last year.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't give a date on it. I think they dropped a date.
As far as how they present their presentation, I love it. It's just, here's trailers. We're not talking on stage for half of the presentation. Sean Layden came out for all of maybe 6 minutes total.
Yeah.
And then it was just trailers and dates the whole time, and I love it.
And to his credit, he didn't come out in a very misleading shirt this year. So credit to Sean Layden.
Last year
he wore a Crash Bandicoot shirt.
Yeah.
Oh. Last year he wore the Wipeout shirt, and then the year before it was the Crash Bandicoot shirt.
But both of those games since then have came out.
No, that's the point. He wears a shirt that gets you all hyped.
Or you're hoping he came out with like a Spyro shirt.
Yeah, he's wearing Spyro. You're like,
yeah. But I love how they have been the last 2 years at least presenting their presentations. I'm happy to sit back for 45 minutes to an hour and just watch trailers of stuff I haven't seen before.
100%.
Go ahead.
The way that they present their conferences is so much better than everyone else. Like, I'm unabashedly a PlayStation gamer.
That's why you're here, my friend.
That's why I'm here. But I did watch the Microsoft conference, and I watched EA and watched the Nintendo one too, and it's just so... why are they doing this? Like, you never sit back and say that during PlayStation, because they respect your time and they make sure they jam pack as much as they can in there, and they start off, they build an atmosphere, they build hype, they have the orchestra that comes out, they have some kind of waterfall behind them,
like, those pretty pictures,
like, what is like this, like, they're playing a different game than everyone else with the conferences, and I respect that. And you don't want to see a developer come out and say the typical crap that every developer comes out and says, you know,
We're working from the ground up.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Even the other things, in like when they were doing Days Gone, they had the people hanging from the roof.
That was a
like
cool little touch. That was awesome.
See, Sony, they put on a show instead of a presentation.
Yeah.
A presentation is for your boardrooms and your board meetings.
This is a showcase, not a press conference.
And a lot of the devs that come out, it feels like they're being brought out there
against their will.
Well, maybe it's against the will, but it's like we're throwing this team a bone by letting them have their moment to shine. And that's fine for them, because maybe this is their chance, their one time on stage, but none of them are public speakers.
No.
Like that YouTuber that they pulled for the EA Battlefront. Yeah. He looks, no Need for Speed, he looked so uncomfortable. Yeah,
they're either really uncomfortable and awkward, or they try to overcompensate.
That's right.
Just come across as arrogant.
They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. And like the Nintendo.
Or they lie. Like, the, what's his fuck from No Man's Sky? it'll come to me.
Sean Murray.
Yeah, Sean Murray, that's the one. Yeah.
But like, and Japan, they're so Japanese in the way that they present everything, which is great and hilarious, but it's not. It's just tonally not right. It like literally doesn't translate. Like, they have a translator. And that's,
the translator doesn't reflect the
emotion,
the inflections.
Exactly. And like the Switch reveal was a great example of like how their conferences don't work over here. And I felt the same thing like scrolling through Nintendo's conference and the way that the developers were, you know, thrown in our faces and that kind of thing. And just Sony doesn't do that, and I respect that. They didn't have the announcements that Nintendo had, I guess, and that maybe EA was probably the, or Ubisoft was the next big best received one. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're asking me how Sony did, I remember when I used to get, you know, the official Australian PlayStation magazine back in the day.
I can't find that anywhere. Does it even print anymore? I know it's still online, I think.
I don't know. But
I was looking for it in Safeway the other day.
Yeah, because the Xbox One's there. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it wasn't there.
Yeah, so I used to subscribe in the PS1 days, and the way that they would review games was they'd have literally graphics, 6. Gameplay, 5. Sound, 6. And
you're going way back.
Yeah, this is how they used to review games. And for the conferences, I feel it's like announcements, I give Sony maybe like a 6 out of 10. They had Shadow of the Colossus, they had the VR games, and then gameplay, they get a 10 because everything they showed looked awesome and got me so excited.
And their gameplay demos were tight.
Exactly.
Like Monster Hunter. Look at that game.
Look at that weird nose thing that Tyrannosaurus had.
That was not a Tyrannosaurus by the time you saw that nose.
Yeah, and then the weird wings. You're like, what the fuck is this now?
And the Spider-Man thing, man. Yeah. Like, everything all the gameplay they showed just got me so hyped. And, you know, the actual, as we're saying, the dev side of things, the presentation, that was really good. It was really just the lack of announcements and new games and that kind of thing that they fell short
of. And it was not getting dates on the 3 big games they announced last year. Detroit, God of War, and Days Gone. You'd think announced last year and then coming again this year, you'd think we'd at least get dates. Like, God of War got a window. Yeah. Detroit, I think 2018?
No.
Or didn't say anything?
Nothing.
So it's like, that's just disappointing.
And there are people saying, where are the 2017 games? But I feel like Sony's had such a great start to the year that if you go back and look at last year, after Uncharted 4 came out,
nothing.
There was nothing. Yeah. There was No Man's Sky, which was also on PC.
And there was
Gravity Rush 2, which got delayed. Yeah. And like Final Fantasy 15 was on multi-platform. Yeah. So they don't have to have games coming out all year for us to be content.
As our buddy Joel pointed out, seems like they're going the way of first 6 months are just, here's all your first party exclusives, and then to carry them through the holidays are all your third party deals. So
we all have deals with, yeah.
So we got Destiny 2, we got Call of Duty, Battlefront 2, all third party deals with PlayStation for the second half of the year. So I think that takes the pressure off them to need to rush a game out in the Christmas period, because they, with the size of their install base and the third party deals they have, I don't think there's any pressure for them to drop something at the end of the year. If they do, fucking awesome, but they don't have to.
Yeah, even without
deals. That number really wants to call me.
Even without deals, like, people are going to buy NBA 2K on PlayStation. Yeah, they're going to buy your Assassin's Creed on PlayStation. Yeah. It doesn't matter
Destiny, Call of Duty, FIFA. It's all going to be on PlayStation.
Yeah, they know that that's going to sell consoles. They can bundle them together.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know, like, you can say, why haven't they got X coming out? But maybe some of those games were planned for the end of this year, and then recently they said, actually, before we announce that game coming out at the end of this year, it's actually going to take a bit longer, and we're not, or maybe we're just not sure
we're
about.
We're not going to get your hopes up with the release window.
And I'd rather get 2018 than 2017, and then the inevitable delay that seems to be happening with so many of their exclusives, because everyone keeps saying every Sony exclusive gets delayed, and it's like, okay,
well then how do we prevent that? We don't lock it
the
in until
is,
we know.
They all come out and they all fucking rock.
Yeah.
You know, look at the start of this year, Nier, Neo, Horizon, Persona 5. They're all 90 plus games on Metacritic.
Yeah.
Right, large shot. So if you got to wait another month for it, it's totally cool.
It's like, I was overall kind of cool about it. Only because this year, because as you mentioned, there weren't those big blockbusters. And I think I went in expecting blockbusters. I expected dates. I think it was in terms of my expectations. But like coming back and looking at it now in terms of it being a conference, it is by far the most superior conference in terms of how it's presented and over the last 3 years, in such a way that if you look at other conferences now, they're taking that. Look at Ubi, right? Ubi is normally the most batshit obtuse, fucking insane conference. They have dance numbers for no reason. They have Jason Derulo out on stage for way too long. Like, and Ubi have learned. They've toned that down. They're focused more on, here's a bunch of games and we'll come and talk about a couple of things, but there's no guests on stage. There's none of this garbage. It's just games. Here's me talking for a little bit, and then games.
And Microsoft tried to do that. They had, we're going to show you 42 games or whatever.
Yeah, and they did that. Like outside of the announcement they had to have of the Xbox One X.
Yeah, that's right.
Like from then on, it was just his trailers.
4K.
With misleading 4K, exclusive 4K announcements.
Yeah.
You know?
Were they the ones that had the guy shoutcasting?
That was the worst. Yeah, it was them.
See, Microsoft is the only conference I haven't watched yet. I missed it when it was on. I haven't had time to go back and watch it yet.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, as far as all the other conferences as a whole, like I feel like I'm more excited for Anthem than I am for pretty much anything out of Sony's conference this year.
Spider-Man?
No, I'm not a big Spider-Man. I'm gonna get it. I'll love it, but I'm not.
You don't have a Spider-Man?
I want to see more of it. I want to be able to, like, it's one of those things.
I know I'll get
I'll
it.
Put my hands on it.
Freaking love it. Oh yeah. No, but in He's terms of hype, I'm not too hyped for it. And it got like God of War.
We're a little cynical at this point. We've been like, once again. Like,
we've been burnt before.
But why?
Even in 1 year of games media, you just get cynical.
No, I'm not cynical at all. I know Spider-Man's going to be fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, in terms of hype, like in terms of what's grabbed me.
Oh, yeah, I don't get hyped like I used to.
There are some games from other conferences that have grabbed me, but the conferences themselves were shit. Not shit, but Bethesda was shit.
Bethesda was the fucking worst.
Did you watch Bethesda's conference?
I watched
with
the
Bethesda
first,
Land and everything?
No, actually, I didn't see any of it.
You're fine.
I had to.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Just watch the trailers and stuff.
You'd be fine. I watched the Wolfenstein trailer and I was like,
went a little
that
too
looks
long, but it looks cool.
Really cool. Mm.
Yeah. This is like. I understand where you're coming from in terms of the release. I think it's great that they've, rather than sort of, hey, here's a game, oh, it's delayed, they're like, we'll just play it safe, we'll get a couple of the announcements out of the way early that no one's going to really care about. So here, you know, I say that in the wrong way, but like Ni No Kuni 2, here's the release date.
Knack 2.
You know, Knack 2, here's the release date.
Yeah.
GT Sport, here's the release date. This is not going to take up time on the conference because we know that no one's going to get too fucking psyched about this.
Oh, Ni No Kuni 2.
Yeah, but no. But if you talk about the majority of people, and then they sort of, you know, God of War, we know you're going to care about, and that's going to be our big staple for next year.
Yeah.
So there's a rough approximation of what it is.
Yeah. I think some of the disappointment came, like we said, from not getting dates, and it's because we knew those games existed so early. So like I said, if they didn't announce God of War last year at all, not a peep, and then announced it this year, and it's out in a couple of months, or you know, 6, 7, 8 months, that would have been that would have brought the mood for this presentation up, I think, because
definitely,
like I said, we saw everything last year, and then we reasonably expected to get dates this year, and we didn't.
That was part of my predictions.
Yeah,
one of my predictions that we're either going to get a release date for Days Gone and God of War, and they'll either interchange between one coming the end of this year and one coming the end of start of next year.
The thing
so
is,
I thought, Days Gone the end of this, God of War next.
Maybe they're announcing that early simply because they know they can't control leaks for that amount of time. That close up to release, maybe that's the thing.
Well, even like, but Bend has been working on Days Gone for so long. Like, it's not like a Last Guardian level.
And no
joke,
one has
but...
any clue what Sucker Punch are doing.
Yeah.
But it can't be far away.
Apparently, it's
is.
Good though.
It'd have to
be. Well, didn't Shu, like a year or so ago, like, I played it from front to back and it's good.
Yeah. Shuhei was telling Greg Miller, like,
yeah, that's right,
it's good. And that was one of the, I think Greg was predicting that they would reveal something this year, so he was very disappointed.
And that's the other thing that baffled me as well, in terms of a lot of the quote-unquote insiders, like your Kind of Funnies, like your IGNs, like a lot of them tend to have very along the same line of predictions when it came to PlayStation, and almost everyone was wrong. And like, does that sort of makes interesting
behind the scenes thoughts.
Processing, you know what I mean? Like, if you analyzing, like if you analyze that and like, well, why did everybody think this but they didn't go that way? Like, what's the reason? But like, one of the biggest things in terms of right now, it's a battle between Sony winning the conference and Nintendo winning the conference, which I strongly disagree with. I don't think Nintendo did good. They pretty much showed a picture of Metroid and they're like, hey, we're working on Pokemon. Like, apparently that's enough to win just by the idea, like the vague announcement of something. Yeah. I certainly don't think that's
what Nintendo did versus what Sony did was like, okay, they showed Mario footage and that's sweet, but Sony showed Spider-Man footage and that was awesome as well,
and God of War footage and Days Gone, you know.
And really, yeah, like you say, the only thing that Nintendo did that Sony didn't was announce something new.
Yeah,
and Shadow of Colossus isn't new really. It's it's
surprising.
Yeah, it's surprising, and it's going to be a new game, but it's a remake. Yeah. So yeah.
It may be biased, but you know, just to summarize it into which was the conference most entertaining to watch front to back, and it was Sony. Yeah. Whether you agreed with the announcements or not, whether you're hyped for anything, it was just an entertaining conference to watch. Whereas definitely. Nintendo, you might be more hyped for what they announced, but it wasn't an entertaining presentation. Mm. Not in the slightest.
In terms of the most entertaining presentation for me, it was by far Ubi.
Oh, really?
Only because my expectations were so low.
Okay.
And like, you know, if it's from the usual garbage that they do, for them to come out.
Apparently Devolver Digital blew it away.
Oh, apparently Devolver went nuts.
No one saw that.
No, I'm yet to watch it because I want to sit down and have a real good time.
Yeah, okay.
Because I hear it's insane.
It's just all satire, isn't it?
I didn't get to see it. Seen it I just heard that it was crazy.
Satire on presentation.
Actually, Josh, the only picture I've seen is a woman on stage looking very scared with blood rushing out of her face.
Right, okay.
So like, she's got so nervous she's got a nosebleed.
One of the cool things I think is that it kind of felt like Sony was holding back.
Yeah.
And that there's so much more to tell us, whereas Nintendo were like, here's everything we're doing, and
because we know there's not much, and we know you'll get hyped by Metroid.
Exactly. And Xbox, I feel like if they had something huge, they would have revealed that as well.
Still waiting for that big Microsoft new first-party IP that's going to blow people away. What's the pirate one? Sea of Thieves?
Sea of Thieves looks rad. Yeah, the rare game.
It looks rad, but it's just not on, you know, the level.
Yeah, and then you go over to Ubi, and Ubi announced Skull and Bones, which looks awesome.
Well,
if you like pretending to be a ship.
Yeah. So we all unanimously...
I identify as a ship, John.
We all unanimously agree that, unbiasedly, that Sony's presentation was the most entertaining as a whole.
I think it
except
was...
Except for
I see Ubi. I still say Ubi was the most entertaining because, as in, I was locked in the whole time, which normally I'm like...
Playing on your phone.
And I'm like, ticking around my phone. Like, you can watch the streams. And with Sony, I was intrigued enough to sort of pay attention the whole way, but...
You can't look away during Sony.
Yeah, and like, I was locked in. When they announced Skyrim VR, I was like,
oh, man.
Whoa!
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I said, I'm going to reach out to Bethesda. I'm not going to pay for it. I'll get Bethesda to send me a code.
Wow. You just sounded so arrogant.
Stay humble.
So arrogant. I'm
like, because that'll be like the fifth time I'll buy it. Like, I can't physically buy it again. I
can't explain to my wife why I'm buying this
game. She's like, so they announced Skyrim VR. I'm like, yeah, it's really cool. She's like, is it a patch or is it a full game? I'm like,
so it's Skyrim VR.
Why isn't it a patch?
That's my question. Like, that's what I'm sort of curious about.
That seems like a money grabbing thing.
So having to try and sell it to my wife for me to be able to buy it again, that's why I'm like, I'll just get a code. Because like, I'm like,
Even if I don't,
I'm like, I'll buy it. I'm like, it's a code.
Just buy it digitally and just say you got a digital.
I'm gonna have to be sneaky. Because like,
how many times have you paid for this game?
Four times now. Three times now.
Three for me.
What's the dollars you spent versus the amount of hours you've
spent? In terms of it's the amount of enjoyment has greatly outweighed the cost. Like that's, and I think VR will give me that again.
I think on Steam I've put in it says about 200 hours on the PC version. Because I had it on PS3, played it for maybe a month, and then traded it in because the PS3 version was garbage with loading times and everything. And then I bought it on PC, about 200 hours there. Then I bought the remaster, where I've probably put in another 100 and something. Probably spent $150 and gotten about 350-400 yeah. hours roughly out of when it. But I'm sure I'll go back to it at some point.
Yeah, like it's one of those games I go back to every couple of months and like just keep going.
I just start a new character and just fuck around for a few hours.
Mm. See, what the only thing that sucks, John, about the Skyrim VR is it had me put my foot in my mouth. Like so hard.
Because of the Fallout thing, right?
Yeah, because like I saw Fallout and Doom mentioned at Bethesda. I'm like, and they didn't say where it was for, but they pretty much just showed an Oculus, yeah. right? And I'm like,
it's on Vive.
Yeah. So I'm like, is this? Not an Oculus. Sorry. Yeah, the HTC Vive. Yeah. And they were like, I was like, this is poo. Like, why is this not on PSVR? Is this because of some? There's just them telling to stick it up a PlayStation for the mods thing. Is it just? And then it's like, well, is it a power thing and whatever? And then.
You looked really deeply into it.
Oh, unnecessarily deep into it.
And you posted a bit, was it?
I put it in the group. I'm like, hey, does anyone else think this way? Or am I just retarded? And everyone's like, you're retarded. I'm like, that's fair.
Well, I am.
You know, so I put it in there and then everyone's like, it's probably a power thing. And then the second that they, like Skyrim VR's and I'm like, fuck, I went to the post and went, look, I realized that I may have overreacted and looked into this.
Apparently it doesn't look very good compared to Fallout.
Yeah, because it is vanilla Skyrim.
Yeah.
So it's the old, like, I think it's the PS3 one. But, you know, the problem with VR is very demanding.
Just to wrap the main topic up, what was everyone's game of show? Like, what are you most excited for between all the conferences? One game.
Spider-Man.
For sure.
Spider-Man. Are you a
long-time Spider-Man fan?
How'd the keyboard go,
yeah,
by
I
way?
Mean, you put there. It down there somewhere. I remember playing the PS1 Spider-Man game.
Yes!
Which was like the Activision Tony Hawk kind of engine thing. And that was like, it's a open world superhero game. And it was like the first one that I remember playing. And then Spider-Man 2 came out.
Rise of the Electro.
Was that a PS2 game?
Well, there was Spider-Man Rise of Electro on PS1.
Yep.
Then they made the first movie Spider-Man. And then the second Spider-Man movie is probably like known as the most definitive Spider-Man game at this point.
Which is Spider-Man 2 on PS2. Yeah. So that was... I guess that was the one where you could actually drop down to the ground through the mist or the clouds or whatever. And that was like, wow. Like that kind of showed me what games could be to a level that I hadn't seen before. There might have been open world games like your GTA 3s and stuff that had done that.
But you can't afford to buy all these games.
Yeah. And when I was probably a bit older than that. but being able to like traverse that game in a way that you can't in GTA because you're driving a car. You can't go up on top of buildings. Like... It was so cool, and it's been so disappointing since like Batman Arkham Asylum that we haven't had a game.
Sorry, the mouse is having a small seizure across the screen, apparently.
since it's going to be very distracting. But since Arkham Asylum came out, we haven't had a Spider-Man game that made us feel the same way as we have about Batman.
Because there was a Spider-Man game on PS3.
There was the Shattered Dimensions. But nothing's like, you know... Move the needle in the industry.
Yeah,
I guess since the second one.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited for that because it looks like a cross between the Arkham games and
the Uncharted set pieces. And,
yeah, like the Tomb Raider,
with the QTEs of God of War. Like,
yeah,
and I'm hyped for that.
It did. Yeah. What I noticed from the gameplay they showed, it flowed very well between combat, cutscene, quick time, and back into real time. It seemed to flow really, really well.
Yeah, and it is an open world game.
It's a lovely web of things.
Yes, like I've had it confirmed from people that have played it over there that it is open world. You can roam around, do whatever you want, but then once you start a mission, it goes into that more linear experience, which is a good way to do things, I think. And
I agree.
If they like, as that was the last thing Sony had in their conference, wasn't it?
So yeah, that was their big mic drop,
and I was just. Waiting for 2017. Yeah. Like that, if they did 2017 and a hard date with Spider-Man, like it would have been like indisputably the conference. They would have won E3. But I think it is a little bit more debatable because of the people that are so hyped about Nintendo, which obviously none of us are. But people out there are making that argument.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. About you, Ryan. Look, about my thoughts overall.
No, just game of show.
Oh, my game of show. Shit. And like there was like
he's gonna say Skyrim.
No, this
gonna say South Park.
Oh man,
this year there wasn't nothing that really blew me out of the water. Like it was like I need this now. Like when an example is like when the Red Dead announced, I'm like I need this game now. Like I need it now. Probably the one I'm still hyped for is God of War, without a doubt. like out of the PlayStation conference.
Of course.
Like that's a given.
The gameplay looks
so good. Cause like I was after I'm replaying God of War 3 right now, as I mentioned for like the thousandth time, it's so good. And like the combat is so fluid and just visceral. And it's like, I'm just curious on how they're going to incorporate that into the new like perspective. And it looks to be more of the same, but just slightly different.
I like your theory that his axe is Mjolnir.
Is Mjolnir?
Mjolnir.
Yeah,
because of the whole throwing and
yeah, they're throwing it, catching it, whipping it, and like spinning around him. You know, because he can still get the, although he doesn't have the chains anymore, he can still spin it around himself and get the same effect. Yeah. I'm really curious to see how that game is. That's probably my most anticipated game for the next 6 months.
It was surprisingly Anthem for me. So I thought the initial trailer was rubbish because it played heavily on all the tropes of, you know, where humanity's last stronghold behind the wall, and we don't go outside the walls, and it was like yeah. We got power suits, I've seen all that before. But and it had the Inception music too, the
That Transformers noise.
Just every action trailer for the last 6 years has had that.
Words on the screen.
Exactly that. And then
fuck, I hate trailers.
The gameplay was gameplay looked really good, but it had that whole weird scripted thing they like to do, which wasn't as heavy as they have. Like the Division was just so hard to watch. And
Tango C left, like who says that?
Yeah, and even Wildlands had the same thing. Yeah. It wasn't too bad, but the information that's come out about it since then is really interesting me, and it just the writer for the game is the guy who wrote Mass Effect 1, 2 and Knights of the Old Republic. Wow. So that's huge. It's made by a lot of the original BioWare team, the BioWare crew, and it seems to be everyone's obviously going to compare it to Destiny because it seems like that kind of game, but from what I can gather, it's not you're always in the same world as everyone else. It's just that like Diablo 3, you can be playing and then your buddy can jump on and just join in your game and drop in. Whereas you're not, I'm sure you probably have to always be online, but you're not in a persistent online world with all these hundreds of other players.
It's so it's more like the Division.
I'm thinking it might be a bit more instant based, kind of like Destiny a little bit, as in like once you're in this particular set, you can't just drop in, but like you can drop in before and then work together.
Yeah, it'd
and
be interesting, out. But I just like visually it looks really, really nice, you know, and how they fly like Iron Man in this.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Arms behind.
It looks fun to play, and which even, is a big
thing. And towards the end of the gameplay where they're running through that massive storm, I thought the weather effects were really, really really top notch stuff. I'm excited for this new IP. It just looks cool.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it before seeing the most recent trailer, and it got me hyped. Yeah. Just that moment of stepping off the building and flying
off
through
the hub and then just flying.
Flying through the kind of hole and whatever it was, and then into nature, and there's animals.
And it was a beautiful, beautiful environment as well. Like really colourful, and it seemed dangerous. And the difference between that and Destiny is similar to what you were saying earlier about open world games. It's a big map, but it is just a lot of
small dungeons,
flat space and then houses and dungeons. But this was a really graphically impressive, dense map.
My concern is what that becomes once it's finished. Like, it can't be that
we'll
insane.
See. Yeah, we'll
it can't be that
see.
Beautiful. Like, it's not possible.
PS4 Pro and Xbox One X only.
This is where we move into the segment we called From the Players, where we get a bunch of questions from the people that are watching and stay at home, and they think we have opinions on things. So it's great.
We do have opinions.
Okay, so a couple of these we've sort of answered. So Buddy Watson.
Hey, Buddy. Yeah. Thanks for buying my book. One of my producers/producers.
Buddy Watson is by far one of the best fans of things.
Oh, he's great.
He rocks up in everything. He's a fan of many, many things. He's fantastic. Is his name in there as well?
His name is right...
Oh, shit.
Somewhere here. Right there.
Buddy Watson. Acknowledgements. Yeah. Well done.
Thanks, Buddy.
Ultimate fan, that Buddy Watson. Big, excellent dude. We sort of answered this question, but will PX 2017 be better than E3 this year from a PlayStation perspective?
PSX?
What will PSX this year be better?
Will be better than this E3 conference.
I think
they'll announce Sucker Punch.
I think that'll be a big bomb. I don't think it'll be like here's 20 games that are awesome. Here's like five games. That
I think it won't be better, but there'll be bigger announcements than what we got already.
I think we'll get the dates that we were looking for.
I wouldn't be surprised if God of War got a date at least, because they said early 2018. So by the time it's December, they should have a date. And I imagine we'll see a little bit more in The Last of Us 2. and
maybe the training.
You'd almost guarantee, you would have to guarantee that Sucker Punch is their big announcement this year.
You'd hope so.
Come on.
I don't know about The Last of Us 2. There's a lot of
I don't want to see it anymore. Yeah. I don't want them to do that, but I have a feeling they will.
I can't remember who was saying it, but it was like showing that last year was their way of saying we're working on this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than
it's the same as the Pokemon company saying, hey, we're working on it.
It was probably one of you guys that said it. I think
I said it last week or the week before. It's just their way of instead of just doing a press release.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Like, here's a quick trailer. Oh, very detailed, amazing trailer. But here it is, like, tip of the hat, we're working on it.
Yeah.
Now leave us alone for 2 or 3 years at least. Yeah.
What else we got? Then Ben Baird asked, well, something we've already discussed as well, chances of PlayStation giving up into cross-platform servers, little to none. Joel asks, did Sony hold back Sucker Punch and Death Stranding as their bigger things for PSX?
Sucker Punch, rather than having Death Stranding, no.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see any more on Death Stranding for E3 2019.
We've seen so much of Death Stranding without seeing anything.
Yeah. I know,
and like, people are getting sick of it.
He's it's all this stuff that doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah. It's just Kojima just loves doing
he loves the theatrics stuff. Of it.
Yeah. And he was at E3.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look there. We've got a couple here. This is from last episode when we did the... These are some of the questions we got that were a bit more broader than just PlayStation conference of last week. So any to jump out? Let's see.
I can't read it.
James asks, how do you feel the 4K featured quote games will downscale to the standard PS4? We're talking Anthem, Assassin's Creed, Origins, etc. Like, because I think previously
this is a
they were
question because yeah, I don't dabble in 4K, so I don't.
I think they were sort of previously making the game at 1080 and then upscaling it to whatever. So I think the difference is now they'll be making the games for 4K and downscaling, whether it be sort of removing assets, you know, just sort of like making a little bit of a simpler game, quote unquote.
The slider, just bring it down.
Yeah, it's like high, medium, you know. That's how I think...
I think in theory, that would make the PS4 version of the game being scaled down run better.
Yeah, it may run more consistently, you know.
Because they can bring it down to exactly where it needs to be instead of needing to develop it the best it can be and then bringing it up. Yeah. Develop it the best it can be and bring it down. I think that would make the comparatives run easier. Maybe. I don't fucking know. I'm just...
we're not devs.
Yeah, we're not devs. I don't know.
It's like uploading a video to Facebook. Just compresses.
Yeah.
Depending on what your quality settings are. I think that's my understanding of how PS4 Pro and PlayStation 4 work.
I mean, like, I booted up WoW into the graphics settings and there's all these sliders. It's like... If you put it on Ultra, it puts it on Ultra, but you can have Ultra, but then you can bring the environment detail back a bit, the draw distance back a bit, just to get the maximum frame rate you can out of your building.
And system. I think that's the difference where they'll be heading now. It's like, I don't think we'll see the 30 frames here, 60 frames here. It's like, it's consistently the same game. We've just jumped the sliders up a little bit between the two.
I'd imagine it's not as simple as a slider, but that's a good generic idea.
Yeah, it's a good way to explain it. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of back-end stuff. Like, when you go on your computer and go beep, it doesn't just go, here you go. It's a lot of background stuff. David asks, what is Sony's move for November? How can they stop Microsoft from stealing the holiday period with the Xbox One X?
Is November traditionally something that has to be a move for? Like,
well, it's always been like that big Christmas push, right?
Well, I guess he's referring to how does Sony compete with the Xbox One X actually releasing?
Correct.
I don't think they need to do anything.
Yeah.
I really
Sony
don't
can
think.
Just be Sony and let people buy their
price
games
cut the
there.
Pro, drop down by $50.
Yeah, like a Christmas price for the Pro or whatever. Sony are in at that point where they can just go into their bubble for a while. They shouldn't, but they can. Mm. You know, the Xbox One X is releasing. You know, it is at a decent price. There are some okay games coming for it. Some okay patches for previous games coming for it, but you know the last part of the year is all the big third party stuff that's coming, and people are just gonna play it on the PlayStation. I don't think Sony need to worry too much. Other than you said maybe doing a price cut on the Slim and the Pro for Christmas. Other than that, I think they're fine.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think there's very little they need to do.
Very little they can do.
I kind of think they may have to understand they may not have the best selling console for the Christmas period.
Yeah.
But also with the price of the Xbox One X, $650 here in Australia, it's not like running out the door or anything.
It's a lot of money for a console that didn't really
have...
It's
more of the same, yeah.
Well, just going back a little bit into the conferences, I watched that Microsoft one thinking, okay, where's the IP going to be that's going to make people buy this really
where's
expensive
Breath of the Wild for the Switch?
Console? Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, if Breath of the Wild didn't exist, how many people would own a Switch? Maybe a few more now that Mario Kart's come out, but yeah, definitely none at launch.
Yeah.
And what are people getting the Xbox One X for? I guess just all the, these third-party games that they can already get on PS4 Pro if they're really into...
With the deals.
Yeah, and if you're really into like the fidelity and stuff, haven't you already got the Pro or the PC rig? I don't know.
See, that's the trap that Microsoft fell into. We got the Xbox One S, the Xbox One. Here's our two big staples. Here's Halo and Gears. Mm. Woo! Oh, we're not selling that well. We have a new console in production. What are you going to bring to it?
No, I don't
but we have a new one.
Mm.
And then like, because they've made that statement last year, they sort of had to go through with it and try create a new generation to at least...
Well, I think that's it, is that they've created a new gen console, but they're not marketing it that way. And I think that might be making people hesitant too, because it's just, it is a $650 upgrade.
Yeah.
You know, you may as well have a PC and be buying a new graphics card, you know what I mean?
Like, if you had an Xbox One, I think I can't remember who I said, someone last night said this. So if you have an Xbox One, you might want to upgrade to the One X.
Mm.
If you have an Xbox One S, don't worry about it. You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I will always give Microsoft over Sony is their controllers are dope.
Controllers are so good.
I love the Xbox controller. I very rarely play
it. Feels so much better.
It just feels better, and with their customizing thing you can do on the internet, like build your own controller, is cool. I don't know.
The
Xbox One, the Xbox Elite controller is just, it's incredible.
As someone that never owned an Xbox until last year, like, it's stupid. Why are they off center? This is dumb. Like, the controller's stupid, and I got it. I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
This is comfy as shit.
Like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, that's why all other controllers have the front and back. What else we got? Anything sort of jumping out?
Chris's question.
Go ahead, read it out.
After seeing EA bringing out the normal Madden and FIFA, do you guys really think sports games need a storyline, e.g.
Madden?
Madden.
Oh, there's, because it's a notepad, it kind of just goes for days.
Oh.
So Madden with long shot.
What's that?
So EA announced that with their latest Madden, in the same vein of their FIFA last year, there's a bit more of a single player focus. Rather than just you creating a character and doing a thing, it's very focused on one character that's predetermined, and it's about you building them up.
Oh, it's predetermined.
Yeah.
Okay.
As in, like, you can't create Josh Saunders in the game. It's okay. Like, here's Alex Tucker.
I was going to say, like the WWE games do the single player content, but not really.
Not in the same way.
Okay.
So the whole idea is that I think it's Alex Tucker. I'm probably wrong.
That sounds similar
with the FIFA. Yeah. So it's like, this is Alex Tucker. You play as Alex, and it's all about you making him a big sports guy. Makes him the best sports ball guy you've ever seen.
Yeah, aren't those games really like Call of Duty? They're 90% played just for the multiplayer anyway.
That's true, but I think it's giving it more legitimacy than.
Like, yeah, okay. I mean, I buy NBA 2K every year.
Yep.
Even when I decide I'm not going to do it, I still go out and buy it. And the first thing I do is my player. And there is, the last couple of years, they have had really in-depth storylines. Spike Lee wrote it the year before last year.
That's a big name.
It is. And in the last game, they had Michael B. Jordan as like one of the main actors in it. So you can kind of put your face in the game, and then Michael B. Jordan's like your friend, your teammate, and whatever. And the storyline 2 years ago ran for like two seasons, and then it just goes into the normal My Player. And the one that's just come out was kind of less intensive, like here's a cutscene every few games, and more of just a sporadic, making it feel more realistic to be this player.
Yeah.
And there was like, you know, you get your shoe deal, and you get, you know, your first all-star game and whatever.
Sounds like the Rock Band story mode.
Oh, the Rocky drama. Yeah. I love the Rock Band. So good.
But there's definitely like, here's your sister, and here's where your family that you come from, and your agent who's a quirky, hyperactive
stuff.
Guy. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and you've got a set nickname that the announcers will talk about you during the game. So I think NBA's been doing it for a while, and it's good to see Madden and FIFA kind of catching up in that regard. And it just makes these games have something for everyone, because my brother is still playing NBA 2K 17. Like, if I went home and went onto my PS4 and he was playing, that's what he would be playing. And he does play online, and he's got like friends that he's made through playing in the park, which is just like, you know, random people all coming together.
Yeah.
And that's something that hasn't interested me much, apart from when it comes out, I play with a few friends. But I think adding this kind of thing for people that don't like playing online, people that don't like, you know, there's still a lot of people that just don't like that multiplayer, talking to people they don't know. I don't like it that much. And it just gives... So, there's so much in these games. There's like the season modes, there's manager modes. It's not no surprise that they sell so well, because there is something for everyone.
I'd like them to add it into NHL, so you can just be some mad Canadian. You like got to do jail time and stuff, like beating people up and all that.
Well, yeah, NHL got no mention at the conference, which is very interesting.
See, that's the only kind of that kind of sports game I enjoy is NHL.
Mm. Yeah,
I've never watched hockey in my life. I just enjoy it's the fun game. Punching people. I just enjoy the gameplay of NHL.
I'm sure they'll add it eventually.
Well, I'm in the same boat. Cause like MLB The Show is my jam. Like baseball is my like. There's a one sport that I'm actively going to buy a game and care about. It's MLB, and it has the storyline of you create you and you play as you and you get drafted. And like this year, they've added a bit more of those conversation trees. Like in between certain matches, you'll get told to come back to the war room or whatever, and you sit down with the coach and you have a conversation. It's like
press conferences and stuff.
Yeah, little bit. Like, so it's not like big stuff.
Answer like arrogant, humble.
Yeah, like it's very basic. Yeah. It's clearly like you select this, it goes here, and then the next question has nothing to do with what your previous answer was.
So that's like kind of where NBA was like 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and I think 2K has been really ahead of the curve in. They haven't had any competition because EA's just dropped the ball on it.
Yeah, NBA Live is almost dead, yeah. Or this year, they with the conference, they announced that they're trying to do that a bit more.
There's been a couple of NBA Lives in recent years, and they've all bombed. But 2K's done a great job of reinventing themselves every year and giving people a reason to buy it without having any competition, which is something that people can often just rest on their laurels.
Yeah, would you like the same as The Show? Like no one else makes baseball games, and the same like they had, you know, Major League Baseball 2K, whatever. That fell about 3 years ago as I just accidentally punched a book. And like so,
you can buy you know, one.
Yeah, that's not so like San Diego. They don't have any competition now, so they don't have to do much work if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a lot longer talking about sports games than I thought we would.
Yeah. That's good.
That was awesome. No drop this week.
If there is one, I can't bloody find it. So it's not where it usually is.
Ryan Clements.
Nowhere else seems to have it.
Ryan Clements.
He would have been at E3. He's like
busy. Like he was, he was on a lot of panels and stuff over E3.
Which means there's nothing important coming out next week.
Yeah.
But there might be. So you just
if there's something that you spot that comes out next week and you want to let us know, you know the place.
We'll do a PSA.
Yeah, we do one like 3 minute video of like, hey, apparently this is coming out. Yeah. I'm sorry,
and then it's actually not.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps up the show. So, did you have a good time, Jono?
Had a great time. Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Only half an hour apart, so it's good to finally come and see how things work over here.
We all met at RTX
in Sydney.
Not
yeah,
really new, like we
yeah
know each other.
We all met.
We all became friends at RTX, and then you know, I always see you in the kind of funny group and stuff, but I always figured you were not in Geelong. I figured you're just in Melbourne. I don't know why. I just always had in my mind that you were in Melbourne.
Jack Cruz in Melbourne.
Yeah, okay. So. Yeah, it's fine out that you're half an hour away. It's cool.
It's good. Yeah, we could definitely
do some more collab.
Do some crossovers.
Yeah,
it's just hang.
Because I remember it was fascinating because when we were at RTX, I'm like, oh, where are you from? He's like, yeah, I'm from Geelong. I'm like, holy shit, so are we. He's like, I'm from Leipo. I'm like, we're from Armstrong Creek. Like, holy shit.
Best friend.
Yeah, like, oh.
That's the thing. Like, I know you guys did the show together before for your show, but one thing you do lose is just hanging out.
Mm.
Because we actively have to make time. Like, we'll go 3 months. Like, we're with each other 2 or 3, 4 times a week. But it's always for this.
Yep.
And then you kind of get to that point where you're just getting on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
Why you're friends. You don't mean to. And you do start just grinding on each other without meaning it. So you do need to put aside that night just to not talk business.
You've got to remember to ask, so how you been?
Yeah.
That's not just, so what have you been playing?
Two very different things.
Yeah.
It's a great way to look at it. But before we do wrap things up as we normally do, tell us again this. Where people can find you. Hey Josh, you want to hold one as well just for added effect?
Yeah,
just for
sure.
Shameless promotion.
Where people can find me. You can find me on Twitter at Jono himself.
Thing fell out of it.
Where you can find out all about my new novel, Spy and the Maven, my podcast, Putting in Work. I also am part of a crew of guys like this who do the Explosion Network podcast. We do Platinum Explosion. We've got Pleasure Explosion, there you go. And which is, that's basically our comedy, just talking
general
crap.
Bullshit.
Yeah, basically. And then there's Grandstand Gurus, which is Jack's sports show that we all jump in on sometimes. So
Cool.
Yeah, that's a bit of a network thing happening, and you can put the books down now. It's okay. But yeah, that's available in all kinds of places. There's a trailer for it if you want to have a search and check it out.
And we'll put all the links in the description.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. And hopefully Ryan can do like a review for it if he likes it.
Yeah, I'll give it a good chatting to.
You have to remember how to read first.
Yeah, I was like,
it's hard to find time, yeah.
Like, where's the comic book pictures in there? Yeah. But anyway, Josh, you know the social spiel.
I do. If you enjoyed that conversation, you can join in with many more on iTunes, YouTube and Stitcher, Facebook and all other major social media outlets. But the main conversation happens on our Facebook community page, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturists. But if you really like what we do, you can jump over to Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Check out the tiers there. There might be something that interests you.
Maybe even getting this show early. But anyway, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Horton.
And that was For The Players.